You are very welcome to Season 2 of Commerce Talk, the podcast that is proudly brought to you by SmartOSC.
We kind of have a demand for digital convenience now in our daily lives, and we just expect it. We don't expect friction and speed bumps. It just has to be easy, and if it doesn't work, you just bypass it. Whereas it seems to be the complete exception in healthcare industry, which is probably far more important in our lives than any of the other industries. I think we've become somewhat conditioned to actually accept bad interactions with healthcare, and it just has to change.
This is part three of our three-part mini-series for World Health Day. How time has flown by. This one is going to be a big one. I'm telling you, we are ending in such a big way. We have been all over the world. We've been to Thailand with Dr. X looking at the future of Thailand's first mental well-being app, Ooka. We went to India to talk to Dr. Avnish about the ethics, education and regulation that is needed in AI and healthcare. And now we are going to the front lines of change in Ireland, Europe, with Dr. John Sheehan. Dr. John Sheehan, it is an absolute honour to have you on the show today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Minion. It's a pleasure to be here and delighted to join you.
I honestly won't be able to do justice or give justice to what you do because you do so much. So please, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about you and your connection to the world of technology and healthcare?
Sure. Like yourself, I won the Birth Lottery and was born in the wonderful Isle of Ireland. And I had two wonderful parents, and I had an uncle in medicine. He was a surgeon, and I had the opportunity to work in a hospital from the age of 15 for 10 years. So that really kind of exposed me to everything. I started off sweeping the grounds, painting, window cleaning, portering, and then ultimately I got to see people operate in the clinical environment. So it really kind of opened my eyes up to a world of hospitals ecosystem, really from, you know, a 360 perspective. So I decided I'd like to do medicine. And I said, my uncle was a surgeon. And he said to me, he said, medicine is really a privilege to practice. And I have to say, it really has been a privilege. And it continues to be, and it never stops amazing me what the human body is, how we can diagnose things and ultimately treat things. So I did medicine, did surgery for 2 years, and then transitioned into radiology, where I was trained in Ireland. And then ultimately I went over to Chicago to complete a number of fellowships in Northwestern. Came back, I was married, I have two wonderful kids, and I've been back in Ireland since 2010. So yeah, so I kind of wear quite a number of hats throughout the day now. At this stage, it's kind of all evolved. Nothing's happened suddenly. And so I suppose the first hat that I wear is I work in a group called BlackRock Health. It's a hospital group with about three hospitals. And I'm a radiologist where I do diagnostic and interventional radiology. And I'm the clinical director of radiology in one of the hospitals. And I have always an interest in technology. So I've kind of developed a big interest in cloud and artificial intelligence, augmented reality throughout that role in the hospital group. And then I've had the real privilege and opportunity to get involved in two healthcare startup companies, which are co-related, but different in different ways. So I'm involved as an original BAM member in a company called Mobile Medical Diagnostics, where we move equipment and not patients, where we do, for example, x-rays in nursing homes. And it has a really positive impact on people. And I'm the clinical director of that. Then the second company that I'm involved with is a startup company co-founded by a friend, Professor Ronan Killeen, and it's a company called X-Wave. And it's a cloud-based solution for enabling and empowering physicians to order the best test first by using a clinical decision support tool. So it's a smart radiology referral tool. And then the final hat, if that's not enough, is I'm a member and the clinical vice chair of the Irish Digital Health Leadership Steering Group, which is led by a great guy called Professor Martin Curley. So that's kind of where I've come from and where I am just right now at the moment.
Oh my God. I know if we were to talk about every single one of those roles that you take on, we could be here talking for days. What I'd like to know is, across all of the different hats that you wear, is there one common thread that weaves through all of them?
Yeah, so it's a good question. I think it comes down to the reality of what they are, but also what I personally value in life. So clearly they're all medical and they're fundamentally all about the patient. And actually, you know, I think you need to either as a person or as a healthcare company need to have a set of values. And I think the first value should always be patient first. Obviously, collaboration and innovation and excellence are part of those. For me, I'm very privileged, as I said, to practice medicine, and I'm very lucky. I don't, and I've never put money as a focus of doing anything that kind of looks after itself. And I think when I was chatting to you previously, we talked about Ikigai, actually, which is only something I've come across in the last 18 months, and that's that Japanese reason for being. And it really resonated with me. And it doesn't mean that you have to achieve this in life, because otherwise some people could feel very frustrated. But I feel, again, privileged that I have the opportunity to do these four things that Ikigai talks about: doing something that I'm good at, doing something that I love. I love people, I love technology, I love healthcare. It obviously pays the mortgage. And also it actually allows me to help patients, whether it's people in the hospital, the group, in Ireland, or indeed across the globe, and the various things that I'm involved with. So I guess patient is the key focus.
Yes. So for those listening, Ikigai is where it's a Venn diagram, right? Like where you put what you love and what the world needs and what you can get paid for into this kind of circle, isn't it?
Yeah. So it's essentially trying to achieve the sweet spot of life. So, you know, what you're good at, what you love, what pays, and what the world needs.
Yes, there it is.
But as I said, you know, it's a great way to be able to aspire to things, and it's great to get to that point. But, you know, I think people in life shouldn't feel that if they don't have a Ikigai that they're a failure. It's only something to aspire to or to consider.
I like that's a really good point. I remember coming across it. I read the book about it and watched plenty of videos, and it was that mindset where, how do I get into that center? How do I do that? And taking away that pressure, realistically, in this sense, it's putting people at the center and having the ability for, in your case, to help and really love doing that. And, you know, when we talk about people and their ever evolving needs and expectations as, you know, customers and patients, in a talk you gave recently that you're kind enough to send on to me, you said something that I found really interesting was around how we expect convenience at every point in life except healthcare. So I'd really like to know or talk to you a little bit more about that.
Yeah, sure. So we as a globe have become very used to digital technology in its many forms. And I think at the core in healthcare, if we look at it this way, we've got many problems. We've got staff issues. We can't attract people. We can't retain people. People are leaving. The costs of healthcare are going up. We've got increased waiting times and increased waiting lists. So if you look at all the other industries, whether it's shopping, you know, we've got Amazon. Eating, we've got Just Eat. If you want to travel, you've got Airbnb. And if you're single and you want a date, you can get Tinder. So we kind of have a demand for digital convenience now in our daily lives, and we just expect it. We don't expect friction and speed bumps. It just has to be easy. And if it doesn't work, you just bypass it. Whereas it seems to be the complete exception in healthcare industry, which is probably far more important in our lives than any of the other industries. You know, if you take traveling or shopping, they're not necessarily basic hierarchical needs of people. So I think we've become somewhat conditioned to actually accept bad interactions with healthcare, which aren't like the ones we experience for shopping. And it just has to change. But it can change, but it needs leadership, because, you know, one of the people that I've learned an awful lot about innovation from is Professor Martin Curley, who's a professor of innovation. And he talks about the need to digitally transform things through open innovation. And it's all possible, but we just have to focus on it collectively.
Yes, and talking about change as well, you know, one thing that came to me when I was doing my research and kind of looking, you know, it is usually said that the healthcare industry is often one that is slow to change. So when you talk about moving from laggards to leaders within Europe, what will be the driving force for that change? And at what rate will we see it, or are we seeing it happen?
Yeah, so recently, Martin Curley and myself co-chaired a session over 2 days in the New York-based UN General Assembly Health Summit last year. and we had 50 speakers. And actually, one of the speakers, Richard Jones, an amazing guy, founder of many companies, including C2 AI, but he actually said it very eloquently that we're sinking so fast in healthcare that incremental changes just won't cut it. And actually, we need just exponential 10x changes. And we just can't get that without actually transitioning from paper to digital, for example. It's just not possible for us to actually achieve it. And there are so many tools out there ranging from cloud to artificial intelligence to augmented reality and quantum computing, that all of these tools are out there to solve our problems. And one of the things about healthcare, unlike, say, so many other industries, whether it's the financial industry or IT industry, and if you take, for example, the development of the microchip, all of these industries have been very finely architected from beginning to end. And what we've never actually got is actually a properly architected healthcare system that works for everybody. So I think that the system needs to be architected with collaboration and to use these tools. Because if you take 2023 alone, we've literally got a pivot point in artificial intelligence. People kind of knew a bit about it before, but now everybody's talking about it because of the likes of ChatGPT. And that pivot point is just going to be completely exponential, and it's going to have a huge impact on all of our lives in every possible manner, whether it's personal or professional, and all the different industries that are within the different professions. So I think we have the opportunity for things to change and to go from laggard to leader. But as I said, Richard said, we're sinking so fast, we need to change more explosively than incrementally.
And speaking about those tools, I saw on a recent LinkedIn post that you had where you said AI is not a buzzword, but a pathway. That's something you mentioned recently. I'd love to know if you could elaborate on this.
Yeah, so AI is kind of a word everybody hears about. Sometimes they think it's cool, futuristic. Sometimes they think it's, oh, it's going to replace me, or it's going to take over the world. And artificial intelligence gets slightly merged with, you know, our intelligence. And is it competing with us? And maybe ultimately with things like artificial general intelligence, which is AGI, or artificial superintelligence, which is beyond us. But that's many decades at the very least ahead. I think we need to kind of reframe what artificial intelligence is to us today. First of all, it's actually should be seen as an assistant or a companion, just like a spell checker was in Word, and a companion to actually help us to do things better, faster, and cheaper. And our approach to it can't be just, it's not flipping it on. It has to be crawl, walk, run approach in every area of life, and particularly in healthcare, because it's such a vitally important thing because of the challenges that are within AI. It's not perfect. It does make mistakes. It does have bias, and it can hallucinate like ChatGPT and say things that are wrong very, very confidently. But I think if we safely crawl, walk, run with AI, it will ultimately make us better, faster, cheaper, and actually a lot of us happier. And ChatGPT has certainly highlighted that to all of us. And I think healthcare will ultimately benefit from the likes of that technology, in addition to other industries such as, you know, finance, marketing, and the creative industries. And my advice to people when I talk about it is that we need to adapt to survive, but actually to thrive as well. And it's very important that we talk to our colleagues and indeed our children in school to actually educate them what is ahead of them. Because the example I give is that if you were a bellboy in a hotel in New York in the 1950s, you would have been bringing people up and down the elevator. And then suddenly Otis or whoever manufactures elevators made it automatic, so you could just get in and press the button yourself. And they went on strike and said, well, actually, we can't have this technology replacing us. So obviously we don't have bellboys anymore, but we do now have the need for us to, with AI and all the other technologies, to actually, we all need to adapt, as said, to survive and to thrive. And we can certainly do that if we do it, you know, safely.
Yes. And on the education point, you know, that was something that our last guest actually spoke heavily on, was the need for having that education available freely to people so that they know what they're dealing with, you know, and also it spoke a lot about bias and, you know, the what you get out is only as good as what you put in. And if you are biased in your data input, then that's going to come out too. A conversation point that I have seen resonate strongly with you is the importance of combining the clinical, technological, and business worlds together. We are talking on a podcast called Commerce Talk, so I am sure, and I'm only going to presume, that our listeners would be very interested in hearing more about that connection.
Yeah, so it's clearly the ecosystem is a very important word that we hear about all the time. And ecosystem actually comes from a biology, and it's about flow from one thing to another. So if we've got healthcare, there are different parts of it, and often they become historically siloed. So you'll have the clinical, you have the technology, and you'll have the business. But the ecosystem needs to flow and be connected. So my opportunity in life and education and experience and where I am today has given me exposure to being a clinician, a technologist, and somebody who's involved in business. So it's given me a 360 degree appreciation, understanding of what is very complex. And I am no master of it by any manner or means. But it just gives me a nice perspective of balance, that if you are just in one of the silos, you're not going to get the other person and what they're thinking about and how they approach it. Because any interaction in life or negotiation requires actually understanding what the other person is thinking. So if you are actually that person, and I'm not saying I've got a schizophrenic mind and I hop from one person to the other, but I think you get the ideas that understanding those different ecosystems is beneficial in healthcare particularly, because it's so complex, but indeed any industry.
And yeah, it's that interesting point. I remember seeing a study done around the impact of speaking to strangers and how we believe, or we're conditioned to believe, that it's going to have a bad outcome. But in the studies, they saw that there was this opening up of people's minds after they had an encounter with a new person. And that opening up was allowing them to continuously learn outside of themselves. And I think that is similar in so much of what we speak about today, the opening yourself up to view different viewpoints and understand different worlds, as you'd put it, and allow yourself to combine resources and knowledge together. Based on everything that we've spoken about today, in a snapshot, which I know is going to be very hard to do, what does the future of healthcare look like to you?
I think the future has to fundamentally change. And it's really, I think we're at a moment in time where we have these what are called Copernican shifts. And it's where we go from being an illness system to a wellness system, from a doctors know best to a patient know best. And that's the democratization of knowledge, from a hospital-based system purely to a community-based system, physical to virtual, and from treatment to prevention. So I think the focus on healthcare, there needs to be an emphasis now of us all working together globally to empower people, try and eliminate disparities and leverage all of these digital tools that we've just talked about and the data. And ultimately, that'll lead to much better evidence-based healthcare. And the final thing is that it actually leads to longer, healthier, happier lives for all of us. That's kind of a very simple kind of overview of where we are going or need to go, but it's kind of the fundamentals, I think, are within those things I've just mentioned.
You know, one question that I always ask my guests, which I like to know because I like to see the different viewpoints, and it's a very hard question, I'm sure, but you know, when we talk about you as a leader wearing many different hats, I'd love to know, what is the best advice you've ever received?
I think best advice is often a hard question to answer, because I think ultimately there's so many people who've advised, are I think advice comes from either people you know, podcasts like this, reading a book or an audiobook. As I initially said, my uncle said medicine is a privilege. I know Einstein, and I refer to this regularly in my own mind, is that avoid negative people because they always have a problem for every solution. I think something that really inspired me was something that Warren Buffett said, and he said many things, but this is so important. I just find that within the area that I'm in health tech, is being surrounded by positive people. And what Warren Buffett says is, surround yourself with people who push you to do and to do better, and just no drama, no negativity, just higher goals and higher motivation, and also good times and positive energy, no jealousy, no hate, and just simply bring out the best in each other. So that for me is very inspiring. And the other person that I always reference is Sam Harris, who's an amazing neuroscientist, philosopher, and he talks about really two very simple things. He says the two most important things in life is love and curiosity for yourself, for the people around you, for life and the world. And I think the other person who I've got to know over the last 12 months really well is a guy called Kingsley Aikens. He's an absolute gent of a guy. You should connect up with him. He's the CEO of the Irish Networking Company or Institute and former CEO and president of the Irish American Fund, which you may have known with Tony O'Reilly. But he said people who've got strong and diverse networks, they live longer, they are stronger mentally and physically, and they earn more money, and they're also happier. And he kind of finishes by saying it's no longer about what you know, who you know, but who knows you. So I think networking in life should be very important because we all rely on other people, and it's not about taking, it's actually about giving, and then it all just works out after itself. So for me, I've had an awful lot of different people influence me in very positive ways. So I can't give you one specific answer.
No, and that's plenty to go by. And I'm sure there's people listening now taking plenty of notes. I really like that. It's the last part as well is, you know, this centered around collaboration, which is really important in what we're speaking about today too. So
just to like to mention about collaboration and particularly digital technology, because often digital technology fails. And actually, 80% of the success of digital technology is leadership. And what that requires is what Martin Curley actually refers to as open innovation 2.0, where you've got high trust networks, sorry, relationships, intense networking, shared values and vision, plus the digital technology. So it's not just the digital technology. And when you combine all of that, you get an outcome that is successful and beneficial to all of the stakeholders. So for me, it's so much about the people and your relationships and your network. And like that Warren Buffett, surrounding yourself with positive people, there's so much you can achieve.
You know what? I'm going to be taking that advice. I mentioned this to you before, I think. I have a feeling that you have an epic book collection. So if we're to think of the people who are listening who may be in the technology world or the business world right now, do you have any recommendations for something that they might be interested in?
So it's interesting. I've actually transitioned to audiobooks, and it's accelerated my reading or listening to books. I just find it so easy to be in the car. So I kind of got out of the habit up until about 5 years ago of actually reading much books. I didn't have the time, and then suddenly the car I got was able to take Bluetooth from my phone, and I was tapping into audiobooks and podcasts like yours. So there's an awful lot of basic books. Like I think the first book I read when I was had to become clinical director of radiology was The 1 Minute Manager. And it's basically how to manage people, having 1 minute goals, 1 minute praise, and 1 minute directs. And that's by a guy called Kenneth Blanchard. There's another interesting book, and I won't pronounce the last part of it, but it's a guy called Mark Manson who wrote The Subtle Art of Not Giving a You Know What. And I think it's really important in life because don't take things personally. People are, you know, coming from different directions and have good days, bad days, or just wired differently. Another good book, because I actually developed about 6 years ago, Bad Migraines, and it really impacted my life. And I read a great book by Andy Podicombe, which is entitled Headspace Guide to Mindfulness and Meditation. So it kind of really got me into that space of actually stopping, thinking, reflecting, enjoying the moment, despite being sometimes very, very busy. And that's really had a positive impact on my life. Another important key concept was actually from a book called The Compound Effect, and it's a bit like compound interest. Small little incremental changes throughout your day over time, either months or years, can have actually a huge, massive benefit, whether it's your eating or saving money or reading books or listening to podcasts. It just all adds up. And you don't notice it at the time, but actually, if you look back a year from now, or you ask me, you know, what books have I read in the last 5 years, you go, wow, that's actually really interesting. From a medical perspective, probably Eric Topol's book, Deep Medicine, and he kind of clearly talks about the problems we face in healthcare because we've become so overwhelmed and busy and not actually having enough time to interact with the patients that we need to talk to and have relationships with. And he just talks about the role of AI, for example, being able to actually humanize medicine again for healthcare workers and doctors to have more time with the patients by removing the cognitive burden and repetitive tasks and actually giving us an opportunity to actually do healthcare better and have spend more time with our patients. And I suppose from a tech perspective, the recent book by Tom Lowry, which I think probably a lot of your listeners may be well aware of, which is called Hacking Healthcare. And that's really where he kind of explores the intersection of healthcare and technology and ultimately how it can have the potential to improve outcomes, increase access and reduce costs through all the different things that we've talked about, telemedicine, mobile health, wearables and AI. There's lots of benefits, there's lots of challenges. And as your previous speaker mentioned, there's lots of ethical and regulatory things to be aware of. And I suppose the final book is written by, coming back to our roots for both yourself and myself, is After the Roof Caved In. And I highly recommend this. It's a really great autobiography by he is a healthcare worker, but he's the CEO and president of Northwell Health in New York. And this guy called Michael Dowling. And he has had a very positive impact on me as a healthcare professional. I actually got the opportunity to say that to him in person last year. So he comes from a really small little village in Limerick called Knockaderry. And he grew up in very simple, impoverished surroundings. He had an amazing mother who had hearing difficulties and really got him to read lots of books as she did. And ultimately, to fast forward, he's become the president and CEO of Northwell Health. It's the largest employer in New York State. It's the largest healthcare provider, employs 95,000 people, turnover 15 billion. And the book just goes through how he has come through all of those stages to be where he is and how he's done it. And ultimately, he's a healthcare optimist. And I think you need optimism in life. You need to be the glass half full. Again, that's surrounding yourself with positive people and, you know, not being, you know, a complainer or looking at the problems and doing nothing about it, but identify problems, come up with the solutions and just get on and apply it. So those are just a couple of books that impacted on me in a positive way.
Wow, a lovely full circle of different angles as well for life. So fast forwarding for you in the future, what does the future hold for you, or what are some things that you're working on that you might like to let our listeners know about?
I think what you've probably seen is that there's lots of dots that are out there and many of the dots I'm involved with. So I think, again, that networking idea of actually joining those dots through people and the different industries, whether it's the clinical, the technical, or the business side of things. So, you know, I'm kind of really exploring further the cloud and pushing that and the benefits of, you know, anytime, anywhere, any device. AI, clearly radiology has got a huge kind of first mover advantage in that, and it's to learn about it, adopt it, evaluate it and see how good it is, and to make changes with one's colleagues across the ecosystem. The other important thing in AI is actually developing a platform, because there's hundreds of solutions. We just need kind of a simple platform to integrate and know that, a bit like an app store, that, you know, there's certain quality affiliated with them. And also augmented reality is another area of interest that I've developed with collaboration with Microsoft and their HoloLens device. And that's just a mixed reality, virtual reality device that allows us to, in the clinical world, train medical students or staff in a much more interactive, intuitive way. For example, you can train medical students anatomy 50% faster, 40% better retention. You can educate patients prior to complex surgery, such as brain surgery. They have better informed consent, they're more relaxed, better understanding. Collaboration with our colleagues virtually, whether it's on site or across the globe, intraoperative assistance, preoperative planning, virtual ward rounds, and, you know, even in a remote assistance, so that you bring expertise to, you know, 10 miles across the city, across the other side of the country, to the other side of the world, whether you're an expert nurse, GP, doctor, or any one of those paramedical people, is just bringing it anywhere, anytime. And again, much better, faster, and cheaper. Digital twins are another thing that's going to be really important, because there's so much out there in terms of medical data, genomics, proteomics, metabolomics, digital healthcare records, imaging, pathology, bloods, and the healthcare records, so that they're all in combined, but they're all siloed. They need to be brought together through AI, but particularly I think, you know, generative AI and quantum computing will allow us actually to give much more personalized precision medicine and these digital twins that will allow us to actually have a much better understanding of each of us, what we're likely to need, and whether it's to predict, prevent, or to treat. And again, to have not just longer lifespans, but better health spans, and that we're happier and that there's less disparity. So those are kind of a couple of things that, you know, I think are part of the future that I hope to explore further with others. Again, it's fundamentally about people, but it's a really exciting world we're living in today. There's lots of challenges, but I think there's lots of solutions. And I think we just have to be optimistic, Michael Dowling.
That's brilliant. And I think with that, it's a brilliant way to end and to say goodbye and to just thank you so much again for your time. Thank you for giving us such a brilliant overview of, you know, where things are currently at for you, for the people around you. And thank you so much for that lovely advice too. I think there's some really compelling things that are going to stick with a lot of us.
Great. Well, my absolute pleasure, and have a nice day.
Wow, what a way to end our three-part mini-series for World Health Day. I don't know about you, but I feel like I have learned an awful lot over this time. I hope you enjoyed it. That was Dr. John Sheehan. I have been your host, Aziza O'Byrne. We are Smart OSC. This is Commerce Talk, the podcast that keeps you one step ahead. We will see you back here next month for another brilliant episode. Until then, if you have any questions, queries, or anything at all, just please make sure to follow us on LinkedIn, and we'll see you next month.